We're here at Menards Bag Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint.
Batteries.
Tools.
Toilet paper.
Extension cords. Grocery items.
Hardware for my cabinets.
Snack items. Crackers and some canned good stuff.
Shop vac supplies.
Toothpaste, cereal, coffee, dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
We should read our Bibles
as men digging for buried treasure.
When the Most High gave to the nations their inheritance, when he divided mankind, he fixed the borders of peoples according to the number of the sons of God.
In those days, and for some time after, giant Nephilites lived on the earth. For whenever the sons of God had intercourse with women, they gave birth to children who became the heroes and famous warriors of ancient times.
Take no part in the fruitless deeds of darkness, but yet expose them.
Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you.
Life's a garden, man. You gotta dig it. Hello, fellow treasure hunters. Welcome to the excavation site. I'm Justin. Alongside me, we got Ben, Steven, and Chad. We'll be your guides on this excursion. Hope you brought your shovel and your compass, because we got the map. Let's dig. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the dig. Yeah, we're just a group of guys, four guys from East Tennessee. This started off as a small group, but God has decided to grow this onto a podcast. I hope you guys tune in and enjoy the kind of the content that we're going to put forward. But basically, we were just men that just wasn't getting fed in church. You know, was tired of the milk, and was just ready for some meat. A lot of the stuff that we talk about, it's not detrimental to your faith. This is for the Christian that wants to dig deeper into God's Word. You know, Matthew 7:7-8 says that seeking ye shall find, knocking the door shall be opened. So if you're going to follow us on this journey, you should get to know the host a little bit. My name's Justin. I'm here with Stephen, Chad, and Ben. And we're just going to let you guys know a little bit about us.
Well, my name's Steve, and I wasn't always on that godly path, which I know most people have their little blips along the way. But for me, when I was a kid, I did a lot of really stupid things, really bad things, hurt a lot of people around me, mostly my family. And it took kind of a crazy experience to get me back on the path. When I was in high school, I went to a Lutheran high school, but because my dad taught there, and they would do mission trips every couple years. They do a mission trip, and I had no interest in that. I didn't want anything to do with God. I didn't want anything to do with anybody. But my dad forced me to sign up for one of these mission trips, and I knew they wouldn't pick me because I was. Yeah, exactly. Because I was
the black sheep.
I was the black sheep, exactly. So they made you go to an interview process for this, and I go in there, and there's the pastor that teaches like our religion classes at school and everything like that, and he looks me in the eye. I walk in there, and my interview process was this. He says, "I don't like you. I don't want you to go on this trip, but we need more guys, so you're going." I looked at him and said, "Excuse me?" He said, "You're going." I didn't know what to say. I kind of left there. And they announced it. We had chapel every day after, I think it was third period. And he announced everybody who was going. And when they said my name, I think about 100 people turned, looked at me with their jaws dropped. Like, what the heck is this dude doing on a mission trip? It was kind of funny. Well, at the time, I didn't really think it was that funny. But anyway, we had to go through all this little trainings and things like that. They taught us some Cantonese, some Mandarin phrases, stuff like this to get ready to go on this mission trip. I'm just finally kind of get settled into it. The people that were going weren't my normal friends. They were really nice people. I got to know them well. I never would have known them otherwise, really. But got to go on this mission trip, and finally said, you know what, it'll be cool because at least I'll get to see some place I'd never go otherwise. I'm going to get to see Hong Kong. I'm going to get to see China. That's pretty cool. So we get on a flight, go over to China, which pretty crazy. You know, we land, we go through this whole period of time where we go and stay at this, it's like kind of like a YMCA type place over there. I guess probably they put church groups up or something like this because it wasn't a very nice place. I mean, they had a fan and you had a bed. And over there, the humidity is about 110 every day. So you woke up in a pile of your own sweat, and it's just what it was. I know you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
But we got over there. They teamed us up with a group of Chinese kids that were about our age. And these kids just wanted to know so much about God. They just asked you questions and questions about Jesus, about God, who he is, what, you know, and I'm spitting out Bible stories, stuff I learned in Sunday school. I had no, there was no fire behind it. There was no, in, you know, they just
you're
asked.
Just I'm there. Like,
that was, yeah, I was along for the ride. They're asking me a question. I tell, well, it's what I learned in Sunday school. That was this, you know what I mean? So they just were enthralled with it though. Just loved it. They just, their hunger was amazing to hear the truth, which was pretty amazing. I mean, it's just really cool. But they teamed me up with about, I had four guys with me. And one of them I got pretty close to throughout the period of time I was there. You know, he kind of became my buddy. I mean, they were all really good guys, and you were with them the time. For about half the time we were there, we were with these kids. And they end up having to leave about halfway through because they have to go and study for a test that they have to take. And this test that they take determines what they're going to do for the rest of their life. I mean, that one test. If you're a bad test taker,
screwed.
Yeah, you're not going to have a very good job. You're you know, walking behind the horses cleaning up the crap. You know what I mean? That's your job. So it's just crazy that a test can determine whether you're that or an astrophysicist or something. I mean, it's just the difference right there. So we go through that time. Those kids leave. They go back. We go into China for a few days. Kind of really pretty amazing experience, some of the things we saw and how poor, and people who think they're poor here have no idea what poor is.
And it's dangerous to evangelize over there. They'll put you in prison. You
it,
know?
It where we were kind of, I mean, we were safe, but we were actually in that industrial southern China area. I think it was Canton, depending if it's Mandarin or Cantonese. I think it's Canton, and or it's like Guangzhou, or I know I'm butchering that, but it's something along those lines. And the drugs were crazy. I remember walking down the street in China, and you look in the gutters to the left and to the right of you, and it's just stacked with heroin needles, just stacked. You better not walk in flip-flops. That's all I'm saying. It was all over the roofs of the houses. There was just nothing but heroin needles. Just drugs. I've never seen it. When you talk about like 3 inches deep on either side of the road, the gutters, they don't clean the roads. They don't clean anything. It smells like urine everywhere. It was bad. I felt so bad for some of those people. But they were so grateful because we went and we gave them, we cooked up a bunch of meals and gave them out to them, whatever. It was really cool. It was a really enriching experience. But we came back to the place that we were in Hong Kong originally, and we had these kids come back with us. And one of the kid I had gotten closest to, wasn't able to show up. And he sent a note back with one of these other kids to give to me. And the reason he couldn't show up is because he was studying for that test, you know, that a lot of these other kids had to take at the same time. And he sent a note, and he actually put a little, because I went over there, I was going to, their flea markets and their little, this stuff is so cheap over there. You know, the price, the in Hong Kong, it was 25 cents of ours was $2 there. So you go to these little markets, the stuff you could buy was unbelievable. So I was going to buy myself a pocket knife, like a little, you know, Swiss Army knife that I really wanted. And he had bought me one of those, wrapped it up in this little note and handed this note to me. And this other kid hands this note to me because he couldn't come, and I open this up and look inside. And he, on that note, he'd written, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, I don't have it right in front of me, but he said, you know, thank you so much for coming. It means so much, you know, that you guys would take your time to do this. And he goes, because of you, I know I'm going to heaven. And that hit me so hard.
Wow.
In a way that I can't even put into words. Wow. And it's like, it, you know, some people talk about having an aha moment or a, you know, some people are, it is literally like getting struck by lightning. And it changed everything instantly. And when I got home and I had been, like I said, prior to leaving, I had been just a terrible kid. A terrible kid. And my mom basically saw me and was just like, whoa, something's different. She just knew
instantly. What happened over there?
Yeah, she just knew something happened instantly. But that was truly the moment that everything turned around for me. But in the end, here we are.
Amen.
And I'll pass this on to Chad.
Oh, yeah. Well, absolutely, man. Thank you for sharing that, Steve. That was a wonderful story. Love to know that about you. We all got a story. And God's got a plan for all of us, that's for sure. And mine's kind of similar to yours, you know. I didn't always believe in God. And, my parents, they didn't take us to church and stuff as kids. And I didn't have a big influence as far as that go. But they had the Ten Commandments on the wall. They had the Holy Bible on the coffee table there that always sat there. Mom still does, you know. But I just wasn't in church, and I just didn't have that influence. And just growing up, you know, I made a lot of decisions. I rebelled to my family. You know, Mom and Dad always telling me to do right, and I would do wrong, right? That's what we do. They've been rebelling since the beginning. Is that correct? But, you know, I grew up and made a lot of bad choices and had to go through a lot of hard things. And, you know, there I was in all my arrogance. I didn't believe in God, you know, made a lot of bad choices, got on drugs, and went that route for 13 years of my life. And I destroyed my family, destroyed everything that loved me. And I ended up getting to a position to where everything I loved and held dear to my heart, you know, was tucked away from me. Had to go to prison a couple of different occasions. And the last time that I went to prison, I was gone for 2 years. And I did a lot of soul searching throughout that time, and I had to come up with a better plan, because obviously the plan I had, it wasn't working very good. And you know, so I got out of prison, and you know, I wanted to be there for my kids, I wanted to be there for my family, I wanted to redeem myself, wanted to become a better person. But in the same breath there, I was in all my arrogance. I didn't believe in God, you know. I was a science guy, you know. Big Bang, evolution, heliocentric solar system, and everything that this world told me, it kind of discredited the word of God. And kind of, you know, there wasn't no God, you know. The wisdom of this world led me to believe that it was foolish to think of a God. And I looked at a lot of Christians and people that was involved in religion as if they were primitive. And cave people. And I guess in a sense, I had all the answers, right? This is what it led me to be. The sciences, and obviously my own bitterness of neglecting my own responsibilities. But the more I started to pick up those responsibilities as far as being a good dad and doing the right thing, and started exercising and stuff a lot when I was in prison before getting out, and that played a key role in when I did get out, you know, working on myself in that manner and disciplining myself in that manner, and with the exercise, with the foods, and the more I kept working on myself and adding value to myself and my being, the more my worth started to go up, and the more my values and my principles came aligned with with God, with Jesus Christ. And wow, what he's did in my life and since then and to now in this present moment is unbelievable. He's moved a lot of mountains in my life, and here we are now, all those years later. I've been out nearly 10 years now, and he did a lot in my life, and he's moved a lot of mountains. And I got a wonderful family. I got a amazing business. I'm able to online fitness business that I pretty much ran out of our house, me and my better half. I met a wonderful woman. Ah, man. And when I met Lacey, that's what really started to bring me a lot closer to God. That was the key. That was the key factor.
It usually
that,
is a woman.
Yep.
That was yep. it. Yeah. You
You're
know.
That, show me up here because I didn't mention Liz initially.
Go ahead and do that. No, but you know, there I was in all my arrogance and stuff, you know, getting out. But I met Lacey, and you know, still at the time I was a non-believer because I was such a smart guy, you know, following what the sciences and the wisdom of this world told me. And the longer we were together, the more my values increased, the more my principles increased, and the more I come in line with Christ. And you know, I wanted to make sure that, you know, my kids and her kids, I got two beautiful daughters. They're not mine, but I love them like my own. And I wanted to make sure that they had a better life. And, you know, next thing you know, we're in church. We never miss a Sunday. And we're very involved with that right there. And, you know, I've made a lot of changes in my life. Here we are. I got a business, you know, online fitness business that turned into working with people all over the world. We got people in all over the place, man, and Texas and Hawaii and South Korea and you know, Mississippi and Minnesota and Michigan and all these different places, man. I've met so many people, and man, the influence that we got over all these different people is just unbelievable. But that turned into now we got our own gym, and we've been blessed to be able to do that. And now we're getting ready to have our own meal prep company, and things is about to blow up on that end of things. And God's been so good to me, and all this stuff I've been able to do and the person I've been able to become, I wouldn't have been able to do that without God, without humbling myself. And, you know, even before that I believed in God, I looked at things as if I was a spiritual guy. Is that right, JB?
Oh, yeah.
I was very blessed to have a great friend of mine, Justin. He, we've been friends a long time, and you know, even when I didn't believe, you know, he was praying for me, and very grateful to have a friend like that. And you know, throughout the time of going to church and finding out more about myself and finding God and learning about God, JB's been one that I've really been able to go to. We've As the scripture goes, iron sharpens iron. And, you know, along that way, coming to that church, finally, I've been able to meet some other great guys. Ben, a great friend of mine. Very blessed to have Ben in my life, and Steve as well. You know, we've all been able to kind of get together, and here we are now, after all these years, you know.
Crazy how God works, ain't
it? Oh, man, it's unbelievable.
Brings everything
full circle.
Yeah.
Brings it full circle, yep. Man. I mean, it's just unbelievable how he's worked in my life and how he's working in our lives together right now. Here we are, you know, we've bounced a lot of these ideas off each other and stuff as far as the Bible goes, the world we live, and, you know, God's just really brought us all together. And, you know, it started out as a little closed Facebook group that morphed into here we are doing a podcast, you know, and, you know, God's got a plan for us, and he's definitely got a message that he wants us to convey. And, you know, I think as long as we keep him as the centerpiece of this operation, we're going to be able to touch a lot of people and open up a lot of eyes to a lot of things that this world and the wisdom of it, you know, just doesn't tell you. And we're very blessed to be able to do that, and I look forward to, you know, this thing growing. Yeah, I look forward to this thing growing and us
digging.
Growing. Yes,
let's
digging.
Dig.
Yeah, and then not only this this podcast growing, but us growing together as men, you know, in the world Amen. We're living right now. I think that it's definitely going to be a message that everybody needs to hear. And once again, like JB said, it's not detrimental to your faith, a lot of this stuff, but it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And I take that pretty serious for one, it comes from the man himself. And if Jesus Christ says it, that's definitely what we need to be doing. So thank you, guys. I appreciate all you all. I'm grateful to be able to tell you guys a little bit of my story, and look forward to what's to come, fellas. Good stuff, man.
Awesome.
Ben, I'm going to kick it off to you, my friend.
I'm Ben. I grew up in church. My mother and father, ever since I can remember, took us to church. For the most part, every time the church door was open, we was there Sunday mornings, a lot of times Sunday nights, Wednesdays, youth groups. You know, Dad was in the military. He's in the Army. So he moved a lot. But we was always at church. That was like the first thing we would do was find a church. So, and then Mom, she would just volunteer. And then Dad, when he was home, he would, you know, I remember sometimes they even was the Sunday school teachers. So I grew up knowing what was right and wrong. And so I kind of probably didn't catch my stride of the world till probably teenager age. Started the lying, the sneaking, like all of us do. So move out. Well, I guess moved out of Mom's house. Mom and Dad got separated and divorced. Dad had an apartment, so I more moved in with him because I got more
freedom.
More freedom. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Do what you wanted to do. Well, to an extent, I could do what I wanted to. So, you know, that's when the alcohol started and, you know, drinking, you know, some beer, mostly more like whiskey and stuff. But then I ended up joining the military and went overseas twice. But once I was able to truly get freedom, I just went off the deep end. I married a woman that we never talked about God really, which is my failure. She had three kids of her own. We always fought, and you know, certain things went on when I was away. So we ended up getting divorced as well.
Well, where were you away to?
In Iraq. We went to Iraq.
You gotta know your military veteran.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, I
thank you. Wait, you were in the military?
No, you would never guess that.
I thought you went there on vacation.
Well, it was like a vacation. Just no oceans. We had all the sand and the heat. But no oceans. No pretty, you know, no little pretty drinks or what are they called, katanas or katanas, where you go get your
cabana
or whatever they're called. But so, you know, I grew up a lot, mostly through the military, because I was still childish, you know. Before then, really, you had to grow up, you know, because you had other people you had to look after and stuff like that. So get back, I hated women. You know, I just despised it. I would drink. I mean, I couldn't even tell you. Two times in my life, I have drank a half gallon of Jack Daniels by myself in one sitting. That's how much I drank. Well, I wasn't stupid enough to drink and not make it to work. It was always in the evenings. But, so, working this job, quit. Worked that job, quit. You know, just living through life. Just wherever the wind blew me, pretty much. But I would still go to church when I got back home to make Mama happy. Keep Mama off my back. I was always at church.
Playing the part.
I might have been drunk, but I was at church. Well, one night, which happened to be my first wife and I's wedding anniversary, my cousin drags me out of the house, and we go out to the bar, which I proceeded to drink, and met my second wife, Keisha. Now this woman, which these guys have met her, she's a sweetheart.
She's not a bar lady.
Not a bar hopper. She doesn't drink. I do not deserve her, by no means. But kind of like Chad's story, I met a girl, wanted to better myself, and it just turned it all around. We ended up going to church. You know, she'd go to church off and on. Mostly, I guess she mostly went to church, which I was just going with Mom, you know. But so we started going up here to Hope, where we all go to church at. And it just started, you know, just got more interested. You know, I actually started paying, which I knew the stories, kind of like Steven.
You grew up in it.
Yeah, you grew up in it.
Heard them enough.
But I didn't, I never thought about it. It was, I got saved at 10. I've always believed Jesus was real and he died for me. But other than that, I could care less. Mm-hmm. I'm saved. Who cares what I do? That's how I lived. And, met Keisha. We started going to church. Got more involved, and I mean, he was just tugging at me and tugging. And then we ended up with two lovely boys, and we're here, you know. And it started out, you know, us four guys getting together, as Justin said, to get a little bit more meat.
Yeah.
And it was like we'd kind of joke, it was just, this was all in the plan. It was all.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that.
It's all here. Because you know, I'm not a big podcaster myself, but how many podcasts are there? We got the Joe Rogans of the world. We've got the, you know, some crazy politic podcasts, I'm sure. But how much of this is there going to be? So, and we got to be the tip of the sword.
Yeah, gotta be the light in the darkness.
That's right. So, mine wasn't as interesting as these two guys, but I'll pass it on over here to Justin.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was great, man.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's good stuff, brother.
Yeah. That's one thing my wife always says. You know, she says, I don't have an interesting enough testimony, you know, and I'm like, you've stayed true the whole way. You know,
that's
it might
hard.
Not be as interesting yeah. as the world
that is
wants
so
to be,
much harder.
But it's harder. Exactly.
Yes.
Well,
you stayed the path the entire time.
The way I look at it, you know, it's kind of like me and Steven's kind of somewhat. He probably was a little bit more rebellious than I was.
To say
okay.
the least.
The look says a
like
lot more.
A wild streak.
Yeah.
Yes, I can tell he did.
Yeah.
But we grew up in it. You
yeah.
know,
well, yeah, yeah.
Some
way.
You know, Chad didn't. You know, and it the testimonies, they're each person needs to hear something different.
Well, yeah, they're different
yeah.
seasonings.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Jesus said, you know, the Christians would be the salt of the earth. You know,
that's
well, the
right.
salt not only preserves the meat, it also
yeah.
adds flavor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, we all have our own flavor to add. You know,
amen.
Excellent.
Yeah, but. And what's funny is, I guess, my story is a blend of everybody's here, pretty much. I started off in church, you know. My parents took me to church every Sunday. I was 7, 8 years old. I seen everybody running up to the front and bowing down and crying, you know, and the pastor praying over them. And I grew up in a, you know, an old school, you know, Southern Baptist church. It was hellfire and brimstone preaching, you know. You don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're dying, you're going to hell, and you're going to burn forever. And as a little kid, I mean, that scared me. You know what I mean? I'm like, God, I don't
yeah.
want to burn forever.
yeah.
You know what I mean? As a little kid, I mean, I was the kid in the back seat with the crayon. I just dropped it. you know,
yeah.
like, oh, God, please forgive me. I don't know what I've done, but please don't let me burn. You know, but I started seeing everybody go up there, you know, and bowing down, the preacher praying over them and stuff, and them coming up crying, you know, and they're saved, you know. And I remember I looked over at Doc. This was a guy that raised me pretty much like a grandparent, but he was no biological, you know, connection. But I went with him a lot, and I looked over, and I said, Doc, can I go up there? And he's like, of course you can. Of course you can. You know, I went down there, and they prayed over me, and I saved, you know, in my mind. Didn't know what was happening. Right. I just knew I wasn't going to burn, you know. And grew up in church and heard all the stories and stuff, you know, Sunday school. But even at a young age, that stuff just fascinated me. I was that little nerdy kid asking all the questions. It probably got on, now that I look back, it probably got on the teacher's nerves, you know. But even my grandmother told me, she said, you were different. She said, you were so inquisitive and stuff. She said, I remember one time she said, driving you to school, because she'd always take me to school in the morning. She said, and you were like 10. She said, you were just staring out the window. She said, and I was like, just what are you looking at? And she said that I looked at her and said, well, I'm just looking around at God's beautiful creation. How can anybody look around and see everything and deny that there's a God?
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's crazy, you know. I don't even remember that, but it's like, you know, a 10-year-old kid to think like that, you know. But then when I got older, the rebellion set in, you know. I started running around with the bad crowd. I started seeing all the cool kids, you know, smoking joints and cigarettes and taking pills and everything else. And I was like, you know, they were the cool kids. You know, they had all the girls wanted to, you know, get with them, and all the guys wanted to be around them. And I was like, hey, that's what I want. I want to be a cool kid too.
Leather jacket and a muscle car.
Yeah.
So, some things never change.
Yeah. No, they don't. So, yeah. Next thing you know, I was running around and getting into drugs, getting into trouble, and in and out of jail and everything else. And kind of like your story, you know, my first marriage, it was just a big party, you know. It was good while you're in it, you know. But then God just kind of started convicting me, you know. And I was like, you know, I know I shouldn't be living this way. I know better. And I started trying to better myself, you know. And then once I wasn't doing that no more, wasn't about that life, I wasn't fun no more, you know.
Yeah.
So we ended up splitting ways, and I'll never forget it, man. We'd been separated a few months, and I was laying in bed, and I went to sleep. And I had this vivid dream that that I was laying in bed, you know. It was kind of like an out-of-body experience kind of thing. And all of a sudden, just the gates of hell opened up at the foot of my bed. And all these arms were reaching up, trying to grab me and pull me in. And I was grabbing on my headboard and everything, biting and clawing. You know, and I was like, no, I'm saved. You know, I'm saved. And then it's like, I guess for the first time, I really questioned it. And I did. I just cried out to God. And it was immediately the hands went away and the gate closed up, you know. And then I woke up and I was like, oh, my God, that was a dream. And then I was like, well, you know, yeah, it's a dream now.
You're right.
But, yeah, I'm going to have to, you know, straighten myself up. But I called my mom, told her all about it, you know, and it's just crazy.
That was a vision.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, long story short, you know, met a good godly woman. And like Johnny Cash, you know, like June did Cash, you know, she made him walk the line. And Becca makes me walk the line.
Yeah, she does.
But she grew up in church her whole life, you know what I mean? Just a good, godly woman. And I needed that firm hand, which I was already heading that way myself. But with a firm hand kind of, you know, made me want to better myself for her and for kids. Our kids and stuff. Mm-hmm. But then, you know,
what women do.
Oh yeah,
they just make
a good kids. Woman will make a man better.
Yes,
yeah. Without that in your life, I probably would have fallen away and not. But she kept me going to church.
Oh, exactly.
She kept me.
Well, that was Keisha.
And she's kept. You know what? I hate to say it, but a man's supposed to be the spiritual head of the household, and I'll just say 95% of the time she's wearing those pants.
Oh yeah, well, a woman is a source of a man's strength.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it really is.
I can relate to that.
My saying to that's, I might be the head of the house, but she's the neck that turns the head.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good way of putting it.
But and I've never been a, you know, an intellectual. You know what I mean? to read and stuff like that. I, you know, up until like the past 2.5 years,
you made a
ago,
lot of changes.
Yeah, man. I mean, and that, it can't be nothing I've but God. It. You know, because I maybe read 2 books my entire life, and I was probably made to read those up until about 2.5 years ago. And like I said, I grew up and I read all these scriptures. You know, like in Genesis, you know, it says, you know, and you know, God created man in our image. You know, the plural language, our. Well, oh, that's the Holy Trinity. You know, and then the Genesis 6, you know, oh, that's the sons of Seth, you know, and then Job, you know, all them meeting in the sky and talking about Job down there. All these little things I saw and read, but I was told the naturalistic thing. Come and on. I'll never forget it. I seen online, what opened it up for me was Michael Heiser's Unseen Realm. And I read that, and he was talking about Psalms 82. You know, it says, in the midst of the gods, he holds judgment. And then he started talking about all these verses, you know, it's, you know, comparing it to the divine council and the supernatural worldview. And it was just like a light bulb went off in my head, you know. So then it's like, you know, 2.5 years later, and 25, 30 books later, and Logos Bible Software, here we are.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think that's going to be so important going forward with this, is that we're going to try to put the take away the worldview that we've been taught.
Yes,
the scientific worldview.
Well, it's scientific worldview, but some of it is the religious worldview we're taught too. Is that
no? Absolutely,
that's not all true.
Right.
There's been a veil placed over it, so we need to peel that away so we can really see the truth that's out there. And I think that, like, what you've said before is that it's God's given it to us. It's right there, but we're just not taking the time to interpret it, or we're not letting God give us the.
We're not taking it in.
We're not taking it in the way that God is wants us to, because we're using our world view for that.
Yeah, and you got to think of the people that these books were written to. You got to, context is everything. You know, if you are reading a book that was written during the Second Temple period, you have to put your mindset in the people of that Second Temple and know what they believed, what they thought, what they ate, you know, all that kind of stuff, or you're not going to understand its true meaning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anybody can read any book with a preconceived notion, you know, and totally spin it their way. Mm-hmm. But no, if you want to know how it's supposed to be, you need to put yourself in the writer's mindset, you know, and that's what I think we are really good at doing here.
Without a doubt, man. Without a doubt.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yes. Such a blessing, man. Such a blessing to get together and be able to discuss these types of ideas and draw closer to God and the mysteries He's had laid out in front of all of us, you know. So.
And hopefully a lot of spark under somebody else.
Yes.
And they never know, you know, the whole ripple effect, you know. There might be somebody else that starts reading, starts a podcast or a small group, and that's what it's all about.
What we said from the beginning is if it changes one person or helps one person get closer to God, it's all worth it.
Amen.
Yeah. No, amen to that. Amen. I think that's our main objective right there, is just to kind of get this kind of information out that we've all kind of went over, you know, over the last several years of our life or longer. Is a lot of this stuff that people just don't hear because, you know, like you said, there's been a veil that's been pulled over the eyes of men. And I firmly believe that is to misdirect you from God and from His word and you know what he wants you to do, you know. So such a blessing to be able to get together and bounce ideas off each other and talk about God, talk about the Bible, talk about, you know,
We're digging, you know what I mean?
We're digging
through God's word for treasure. And what does any treasure hunter do after they find a gold nugget? They want to tell the world.
No.
And that's all we're doing here.
No, absolutely, man. Absolutely. We're blessed to be able to do it, too. Yeah, look at us now. We've got a podcast here.
I know it's crazy sitting here in front of all this stuff.
I know, it sure is.
It's going to be a journey. It's going to be a nice ride.
I'm excited.
Hopefully we'll be able to take a lot of people with us and be able to spark some inspiration in all their hearts and minds, you know.
Yeah. Well, see, now I guess you guys got a a face behind the name, kind of our perspectives and stuff like that. So I guess you could say for the coming dig, all the tools have been gathered, and like Joe Dirt said, life's a garden, you got to dig it, man. We'll see you next time. We'll be right back.